Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, Building and Protecting Your Business One Podcast at a Time, a CadSource family production. In this episode, we discuss the growth coach, obstacles in business, and the New Jersey Devils. Our guest today is James Pagano. James is the owner of The Growth Coach of Charlotte. James launched his business because he understands many of the challenges small business owners and sales professionals face each and every day. He has over 30 years of experience in business ownership and held various corporate positions during this time. James's practice allows him the opportunity to share his experiences, provide third-party perspective, and work through a proven and sound process of professional development with many Charlotte area entrepreneurs and sales professionals. I've known James for many years, and not only is he one of the most genuine people you will meet, he can give you practical advice that will make a difference for you and your business immediately. Because of all that, I'm super excited to have James on this podcast. Let's see what he has for us today. Here he is, James Pagano. James, welcome to the Entrepreneur Perspectives podcast. It's great to have you.
Great to be here. Yeah, thank man. You very much for the
we've
opportunity.
Been we've been talking about this a while, so absolutely. Here we are face-to-face, as you like it the most, right? You like face-to-face? Is that?
I do. Okay. I do. I like face-to-face. Okay. I'm a people guy, I guess.
How do you keep yourself, because I see you out around a lot, how do you keep yourself meeting new people?
I think the short answer to that is I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So... And candidly, I think that for business owners and, you know, me included, if you don't get out, you're not getting work done. You're not getting business done because it's out here is where business is happening.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Eric, I work with a lot of small business owners, especially the solo practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest struggles that they have, especially initially in their practice, is that they have to, they believe they have to have everything perfect before they get out the market. And I think that that's a mistake.
Right.
I think get out there.
Yeah.
Because once you're out there, you're going to find out what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong.
That's right.
So that's where you have to be. So for me, to answer your question, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, you know, like you just mentioned,
yeah.
We're face to face today.
Yeah.
I prefer that over phone conversations. So that's why I get out.
It's,
I enjoy it.
It's simplicity, right? I mean, sometimes we talk to young salespeople or any salespeople and hear a lot of complicated answers. And then coming from a business coach like you, it's basic. It's the fundamentals of it. It's, do you like what you're doing?
Yes.
And do you know that just talking to people is going to potentially lead to success?
Yes.
At least it's going to give you the opportunity to have success. Now, you still have to know what you're doing
without
and talk
question.
The talk. But you have to at least talk to people.
That's exactly correct.
Okay.
That's exactly correct.
We've had salespeople in the past, and I've gone to, he's been on our podcast before, Mitch Long, and I think you've spoken with Mitch. And when I would ask Mitch, I'm like, Mitch, we have these salespeople here. What do you think? Because you're out there, you've been doing this for 20-something years. What do you think the issue is? And his answer would be, they're not seeing enough people. It's that simple.
It's that
like,
simple.
You have to get out from behind the desk and go talk to people.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I agree with that, but then as you build your business and as you refine your business,
yes.
Now you got to get in front of who the right people are.
Right. Right.
And I use that expression a lot in my coaching. You know, the right. You know, what's the right work? What's the best and the best use of your time to do the right activities? You're
right.
Using it that way, but I think, but especially initially, it is a rule of numbers. It is that simple.
Yep.
Right. You have to meet enough people. And then enough of the right people
sure.
to generate your revenue.
Yeah. Okay. So you're a business coach.
Yep.
You didn't become a business coach when you were very young, right?
Nope.
You started and you evolved into something else. What was that journey like for you to become a business coach? As I raise my chair up.
You know, and becoming a business coach for me came much later in my career. And I never really thought I would be in this position. Being a coach, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah.
And even when I started to explore the opportunities of what this really is, I still wasn't using the words business coach in my pursuit.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
So honestly, it goes way back. Personal and professional development goes way back for me.
Mm-hmm.
16 years old, my dad was really into personal development. He was a big Dale Carnegie fan, a big Jim Rohn fan, and he handed me Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, when I was 16 years old.
Wow.
So I did what a 16-year-old boy would do with that book. I read it when I was 24.
Yeah, that's right. 8 years.
So, I mean, that's
where did it sit for those 8 years?
We had in our finished basement, you know, real glamorous, right? But it was like this little finished basement. My dad always had a bookshelf. My dad's a reader. He still is today. Mm-hmm. And he had this bookshelf, and he handed me the book. He said, "You got to read this book."
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And I put it on the shelf.
Yeah.
And there it sat, you know. And then eventually I grab it and think about it. But seriously, right. It took, I don't know if I was literally 24.
That's right.
No, it took me.
Could have been 25, right?
Yeah, it could have been. I'm probably giving myself a little more. But anyway, so personal development, professional development, it's always been like in my blood. I enjoy it. So then fast forward through my career, actually the growth coach, my practice today is my third business I've owned in my life.
Okay.
I've been around small business. My dad owned small business and honestly, he was my introduction to small business. I worked for him right out of school. Got my undergrad degree, wanted to work for a big pharma company. I graduated with a medical communications degree, and I really thought, this is my path. I'm going to go work for big pharma.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And they weren't hiring a guy with no experience.
Yeah.
So my dad said, listen, here's what we're going to do. Come work for us. Learn sales. Learn interpersonal skills that sales will enable you to have. And from there, you can really do whatever you need to do.
Because
it doesn't matter. If you think about it, if you have sales process and business acumen, you could do whatever you want, right? You could be an accountant, you could be a financial advisor, but if you have sales process, you could apply it to anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was a good idea, introduced to small business through my dad, but you know, working for a family business, it's not easy. So, but anyway, fast forward, you know, I went through various things in my career, and then I started to explore in 2000, I guess it was 2012. In the summer of 2012, my wife encouraged me to start thinking about doing something else. I was working for corporate. I moved to Charlotte in late 2009, early 2010 for a corporate opportunity.
Okay, so there was a business opportunity that brought you here.
It was a business opportunity that brought me here, but it pulled me away from a business I owned in New Jersey at the time.
Okay.
So I left the business I owned to work for mid-level management for corporate.
Yep.
Great idea.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
401k, vacation plan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the things I didn't have as a self-employed, you know, entrepreneur.
Reduce risk a little bit.
Yeah. Thought it was going to be my run, you know.
Okay.
Let's do this. But what I realized was I have that drive in my gut to be my own boss.
Yeah.
And so...
Did you walk in one day and... Or did you wake up one morning? Like, what was the epiphany like for you to say, this isn't what I'm doing. I got to do something different.
I think it was over time. It just started to wear me to a particular point where I knew I wasn't happy, but it took friends and family and my wife to identify.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, if you're not happy professionally, it's hard to be happy in your personal world.
Right.
So she said, hey, you never worked harder when you owned your own business, but maybe it's time to think about doing something. And it scared me a little bit, I'll be honest with you. It scared me because we're in Charlotte, new city, newer city. We were here for 4 years.
Sure, still pretty new.
But
though.
It was new. My network was internal at this corporate position as opposed to where I grew up, where I had a broader network.
Right.
And my network up there, my business and everything else was much more vast.
Yeah.
So it scared me a little bit.
Yeah.
So, candidly, we were on the beach in Hilton Head and she said, you know, take out your pad of paper that you always like to jot notes down and why don't you just do a pros and cons and, you know. She was teasing me a little bit, but...
She coached you.
She coached me.
Yes, right. As a good wife would
really,
do, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, I know I'm giving you a long answer here, Eric, but...
No, I love it.
I just really reflected on, you know, what I like and not like about my current role and what I liked and didn't like about being in business for myself.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to do and start. So I mentioned earlier that I really wasn't using the word business coaching or sales coaching or coach at all when I was pursuing, like, what is it that's next for me? But what I started to realize was that maybe getting into some sort of sales training kept coming into my mind. Because I had been through various sales training programs. Mm-hmm. Dale Carnegie was the first. My dad introduced me to that. Sandler. All these names that you would probably recognize. I've probably been through 4 to 6.
You've seen it all.
In my career. So I thought, well, maybe I'll be a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And what I started to realize is that I really, really identify with small business owners, self-employed up to, you know, a handful of employee-sized companies, because I've lived it and I'm passionate about it. And I know what they go through.
Yeah.
So that's where the Growth Coach and I came together, was through that search.
Okay. Well, so it goes way back, like you said. The foundation was there. You mentioned a book. It's so funny because I like a lot of books. And this book, for whatever reason, had me turned off, How to Win Friends and Influence People, because the title, I was like, what was it? We're trying to game people. And I just, and sales, I'm not the sales guy that's going to show up in the insurance business. I'm not going to show up, hey, James, how's your life insurance doing? That's just not who I am.
Right.
I want to have a conversation with you, build a relationship. And, then, hey, maybe if you need help, then we can talk about it. So I felt like, based on the title, it kind of threw me off.
Sure.
Then I get it, and then I read it, and it's my favorite book. I mean, there's a lot of other books I like, but it's one of my favorites. And then I remember talking to my parents about it, and I told them, I love this book. And they're like, did you know that that's your grandfather's book that he carried around everywhere with him? And he ran a general agency for John Hancock up in Niagara Falls, New York, you know, when he was younger, and he's long since passed, but he's a big reason why I do what I do today. He was a business owner. It goes back. So that's like this thing that you have. I feel the same way.
Great story.
And it's just, there's something about it. And when you hear that it had this impact on other people 3 decades, 4 decades ago.
That's right.
And then it still applies today.
That's right.
I love it.
I love it too.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what you said on the onset of our conversation about keeping things simple.
Yeah.
You know, foundational elements of business have been around for thousands of years. Yeah. And they've written about it so many times, it's basically variations of what's been written about before. But if we just stick to the foundations, I think that I think we'd be better off.
Right.
Why we really want to overcomplicate things, mm-hmm. I think a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just need to be reminded that
it's
the simple, it's the foundational, it's, you know, things your mom taught you, really.
Right. That's right. And your dad, and that's what you learned, that's what you took from it, is that you were working for your dad and then getting a small business and have this passion for it and realize, and I think, you know, when we entrepreneurs, whether they're starting a business or in a business, reminding themselves why they're doing what they're doing is to take it back to the beginning, take it back to some place, in time to where, why did you make this decision?
Correct.
And I think that's really important
to
do.
Big question in coaching, too.
Yes.
And I'm not the only coach that would ask this question.
Sure.
But we have to remind our clients why they went into business for themselves. Because when they rewind and they think about it, that's when the passion gets reignited.
Sure.
And you really find out a lot about the individual. You find out the story behind the story. And really, that's where it starts. To remind yourself of that. Because without it, man, you can't get out of bed.
Well, you get, right. So you as the business coach could get lost, and then your clients can get lost because you're not kind of expressing why it is you do what you do.
Correct.
And then you can't get them to explain why it is they do what they do.
Right.
And it all has to come together, which I think is, it isn't why I'm a business coach and this is what I do and this is what I help people with. Yes, no doubt. Sometimes you can't tell the whole story because it's like, geez, I don't need to know about your grandfather, right? I don't really, own grandfather,
right.
You know? And so I think that's important to get it to that as well.
Yeah. Well, this is good, though, because you're allowing me to tell you stories behind the story.
That's right. That's what we love. We love the story behind the story because it's just, you just don't know. And that's the stuff that sells. It's like sports, for example, the game, the stats, the box score, right? We grew up reading the box score, and that's all important. But what's the story behind, like, why did he play so well, or why did he play so poorly today? What's going on in that guy's life? Why is his team playing so well? There's stories behind it. Yeah. Those are the stories. So, like, there's this, there's an app, or it's a publication called The Athletic. And The Athletic is stealing a lot of the best publishers, the best writers from ESPN, from Fox, from all these different places, because they're not writing the basic story anymore. They're going in depth as to, let's talk about your mom. Let's talk about the story behind what is gambling going to do, because that's a big topic in sports right now, now that it's possibly going to be allowed for the states to decide they want to do. Let's get deep into that story. Why is that happening? And I think when you get to that, it's like, wow, that's fascinating. Makes for longer reads, and some people want to stick to the top of the headline.
That's right.
Anyway,
go ahead. It goes back to Dale Carnegie's book, doesn't it? Look, right? It's about people. And I think that people want to work with people that they really...
That's right.
That they enjoy being with.
Right.
And that they can relate to on that level.
Right.
So that's... I see? It goes right back.
It really does.
You didn't even like The book at first, right?
Yeah. It was the title, right? It was That's right. Yeah, and then you wake up. Yes.
That title today probably wouldn't do as well as it did
right.
when it was a first published.
But you needed someone to say, you need to read this book.
Correct.
So.
Absolutely. Anyway.
Yeah. So the growth coach.
Yeah.
So you get you go through your journey.
Yeah.
You're the growth coach. Mm-hmm. You said it was a good coming together of you wanting to do this, and there's this other group out there. You tell us, like, why the growth coach? What is the growth coach all about?
All right. So it's a great question because I'm asked this on occasion, and it's no secret that I work. The growth coach is actually a franchise. And so what we are is a group of coaches throughout the country, actually internationally now, that serve local markets. So my market is the Charlotte market. And the reason why, two reasons why I married up with the growth coach. One, and the foremost, it was that I could have hit the ground running with, you know, the James process,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
with my name. And
yep.
I could have hit the ground running and formulated a process and the marketing behind it and all that on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But the road would have been a little bit longer to do that. Plus, I mentioned to you, my network was, in my opinion, not that robust
mm-hmm.
in this market that I
sure.
now live in. So what I did was I started to look at familiar names that I had been exposed to, like the Dale Carnegie franchise and like the larger franchises that are out there doing this type of stuff. And I came across the growth coach, and what really attracted me to them is that they truly do serve the small business owner.
Mm-hmm.
We're small business centric. I met with the founder, a gentleman by the name of Dan Murphy. He and I hit it off, and honestly, he was the turning point for me to make that final decision on embracing the growth coach process and what we do. Very entrepreneurial in focus. A lot of sales comes into entrepreneurial coaching, and I like that.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. So many of my clients, because of the size of their organizations or where they are in their life cycle of business, sales becomes part of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It could be 80% of it, it could be 40% of it, but it's in there.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot. But that's how we got together.
Okay.
I wanted to hit the ground running with a process and best equipped to ramp up quickly.
Yeah.
And I got that support when I launched.
It makes sense. Well, so when you open up the restaurant, you need people to show up.
Yeah,
and you need your cash registers, whatever it is.
That's that, right.
Your iPad with the the swipe going. And
that's
you need
right.
people that... You have a menu. You know, there's a lot of things you have to get off the ground and running, and they seem like they accelerated that for you as opposed to creating more obstacles for yourself.
That is correct.
At the Growth Coach, like, if you were to say, what's the main thing? So you work with business owners, but how do you work with business owners? Is it one-on-one? Is it in group sessions? Is it a combination of all the above?
Yeah, so it's combination. So
okay.
So what's nice about the Growth Coach and what's nice about the model that I work under is that we have a proven process. It's been around. It works. Dan Murphy has been implementing this type of coaching process for over 20 years.
Yeah.
Been a franchise now for 15. Not me, the company itself. I've been in business now in my practice for a little over 5 years. But what we do, the model that we really coach under, is a combination of one-on-one and group. And at some part of the journey when I'm working with a client, I will integrate you into a group. It could be right away, it could be later in the process, but the way that it works and the way that the philosophy is that through one-on-one engagement, so that we could really dig deeper into specific
mm-hmm.
bottlenecks or concerns or areas that we need to work on with you, can be individualized.
Yep.
But then the power of a collaborative group is powerful and makes a difference. So that hybrid approach of
yeah.
group and one-on-one is what I have discovered through the process that we coach under
mm-hmm.
to be the best formula. So what I was getting at is we have this robust portfolio, we work under it, but every coach under this umbrella they need to make it their own. And that's what I've done, that's what other coaches do.
Sure.
We have to bring our own experience to the table, we have to
sure.
bring what works for our market into the mix.
Yep.
But in general, and the overarching process and philosophy of the growth coach is the combination of one-on-one and group.
Okay.
That valuable combination.
Okay. And then bringing them together and having the collaborative efforts.
Correct.
From multiple business owners, or it doesn't have to be just business owners either, right? A lot of times, because we would say a salesperson is, in a way, they're running their own unit. They're they can be entrepreneurial.
Think of the difference. If you're an employee, but you function with the mindset of an owner, it's a different ballgame.
Yeah.
You could have, I'm not saying don't hire employees that have employee mindset. That's fine. But when you have an employee that has an owner's type of mindset and is driving what they do from that perspective, it's a different level of performance. Yep. So yes, if you're not an owner, but I work with you because we've identified where you believe in continuous improvement and personal development,
right?
I definitely mix you in. I work with mid-level managers all the time that are mixed into my groups with business owners.
Right.
And there's never a question of why is he here, why is she here?
Sure.
It's, wow, this is awesome. We're going to get a corporate perspective into the mix.
Good word.
So it's important and it works.
I agree. So with having different types of salespeople in that environment, I would say that there's an entrepreneur, because there's a lot of people use that word entrepreneur, and it's a buzzword now.
It is.
And it's interesting that there's less entrepreneurs today than people would think. Right?
Yeah.
You know, more small businesses. We found out we have a client, Cynthia Kay. She's a business owner, does video production companies. She's done the research that there's more small businesses going out of business than there are small businesses starting.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you can have that entrepreneurial mindset. And when we talk to people, when we bring them in here for an interview, just having conversations, I don't even like to say the word interview, it's a conversation with people, is ask them, are you going to see yourself as an entrepreneur? Yeah, you're not writing the check out of the business account, out of your business account. It's different. But do you see yourself in that way? And it's an important question. Like you said, it's okay if they have the employee mindset. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying if you have that entrepreneurial mindset, just like you're saying, I think that's huge. So I think it's great that it's not just business owners. You have all these different perspectives
in
there. And I think it's important that anyone listening to this would understand it. Don't just think of you have to be a business owner in order to work with someone like you. You don't. And then I want to get into coaching, because it's like, okay, someone over here is a really good business owner. They're crushing it. Let's go to this, because we love sports, right? We're at the Sportsypreneur.
Yeah, no.
Why does, when Tiger Woods won his heyday, why does he need a coach? Why did the Golden State Warriors, who are just on, they just have more talent than anybody, what does Steve Kerr do in there? Why do they need a coach?
I love the sports analogy because it's something that most of us could relate to, right? From a coaching perspective. Top performing athletes, Eric, don't have a coach. They have two coaches.
Yeah.
They have three coaches. That's the reality.
Yeah, that's it.
Right?
I love it.
I mean,
come
on.
Yeah.
Pick your favorite quarterback.
Yeah.
Guarantee he's got three or more coaches.
Yeah.
Now, great question. Mm-hmm. Why? If I'm performing at the top of my game, why? It's the value of outside perspective and somebody who could stand next to you and look at it from a very different angle, a very different point of view, that could identify things in you that you may not necessarily see in yourself. And it's a way to encourage growth through that, not only outside perspective, but also the accountability to that. Because think, when you're in business for yourself, there's nobody over your shoulder saying, did you get that work done? As a coach, we offer that accountability aspect, but we also offer other valuable aspects as well. But I think the analogy from a sports coaching perspective, it really comes down to, do you value perspective that's not your own in order to be better? Mm-hmm. If you continually challenge yourself and ask the question, what else is possible, then you're a candidate for coaching.
Yes, because not everyone is, right?
No, and that's a criteria for me.
Right.
If you're a fixed mindset
as
opposed to a growth mindset, I can't work with that individual because I don't have time to force that foundational change in how you think.
Right.
Right? But if you're open to possibly receiving perspective from somebody else, whether I worked in your business or not, I have experience that could contribute to your success.
Right.
Most recently I started using the term success acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of coaching, wouldn't it be cool if you could be in business and know that there was a way to accelerate your success? I think, honestly, when I work with my clients, they're successful.
Yeah.
they're going to be even more successful with or without me.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be cool if you could kind of steepen that curve just enough?
Yeah.
Because that could prove to be exponential over time,
yeah.
right? If we could just heighten it, just pitch.
Yeah.
And that's what we're not looking to turn businesses
yeah.
180 degrees. We're
sure.
looking to say, you're doing a lot of things right. Let's accelerate that. Really
so a word, I love it because a word we use a lot around, a word we use a lot around here, I can't even talk, is refinement. So whether it's your website, whether it's the way you approach a client, so whether the way you record a podcast, whether you can spit your words out like I just couldn't do right there, like
sure.
what did you do wrong there? Let's refine it. Let's fix it. It's little things. And if you just have those little increases, a little, you know, you better yourself like you just said,
mm-hmm.
I think it kind of relates as well. And I want to go back to the one point you made about not everyone is a candidate.
No.
Because there are people that we talk to that, and this is for, let's say, a business owner that's got a sales team. And they look at it and they have a meeting and they're talking individually or with a group of people about sales. And they constantly feel like it's not an argument, but it's combative a little bit. It's people, someone goes on the defensive. No doubt the business owner could be wrong, right? We've all been in this situation. Maybe they're wrong.
Right.
But if you're the business owner and you're running the business and you want it done, and the salesperson's kind of just not, you're bumping your head against the wall, and they're not coachable, like that's a hard thing to deal with.
It's
you need a coach to then talk to the business owner to try to figure out
Do
we do, right?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
talk to the salesperson.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's an important thing. So that's one point. But also I like what you said about that you've talked about the niche a little bit. Like you work with small business owners. They have to qualify in a way to work with you because you don't have the time to spend on it. I think that is a huge thing for all of us. For you, for us, for any whatever market you're going after and qualifying. Who is the type of person that you work with? What's their personality like? Like, what do they like to do, right? You would obviously agree with that.
Yes.
So I think it's important so you run a successful business that way. I'm not trying to coach you. You're doing this.
Oh, man,
I'm just stating like what we see with business owners that get very widespread.
Yeah.
And not to say don't carry multiple sleds. You can carry multiple sleds, but you have to have success in this one. Then you move it to that one and then vice versa, right? And
yeah.
keep going
think,
on.
Think of the very difference in what this question can mean.
Yeah.
Instead, when you're a prospect and you're talking to me, I want to work with people that say, I wonder what James can do with me, as opposed to what can James possibly do for me? You know, like
yeah.
it's not that. It's embrace that engagement
yeah.
and let's go.
Yeah.
My clients, honestly, they need to be willing to roll up their sleeves and go to work and get it done.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, you know, coaching's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
It's the engagement between the coach and the client, but the client has a responsibility to implement what we talked about. It's,
sure.
it's a process of discovery and goal setting and commitment.
Yeah.
But then beyond that commitment, right, it's the hard
yeah.
part is implementation.
Right.
So when I leave our conversation or you leave the group, you walked out with maybe 1, 2, 3 line items that you decided were important to execute against.
Yeah.
I can't do that for you.
Yeah.
So you have to be willing to do work.
Right.
We're going to help you discover what the right work is.
Yeah.
But then you have to implement.
Right.
So I have to get into the head of my prospect a little
right.
bit and see where's this guy, you know, or this woman coming from
yeah.
as far as that
it's
level
great.
Of engagement.
It's great.
It's because it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing.
Right.
Nothing in business is really.
Yeah.
You have to really be willing to execute.
I like
on the commitment
as a coach, and as you saying it is great because it's I can't make you do it.
No.
And that's a huge. There's a line in Any Given Sunday with Al Pacino as the coach, and we have an article about it. And at the end, and he goes to this. It's considered one of the best sports movie.
Sure.
Speeches ever.
Yeah.
And at the end, he's like, tells everybody, he's like, we have to go out there and we have to do it. We got to grab for every single inch. It's all out there. But I can't make you do it. It's what you said. I can't make. So John's in the office here right now. John's in content marketing. He's in sales. We can tell John all these great things and all these things he can do and all these people he can talk to, the networking events he can go to and all the questions he can ask. But we can't make him do it. I can't force him to do any of it. He has to decide for himself, will he do it? And that's what you're saying. And
that's
so coming
right.
from me is one thing. Coming from you, the business coach, totally another one.
No,
and I love
you,
yeah.
If you provide John with the tools
right.
and the equipment to do his job the way that you need him to do the job,
right?
Right. and the instructions and everything, and you both decide, yeah, I need to see five people this week, I need to do this, I need to do that, it is up to him to get it done. You can't do it for him. You can provide the tool. My point is you need to provide the tools for his success, but his success is really about him doing it. And it's like that with
two-way street.
It's absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. So business owners,
yeah,
biggest issues they're running in today that you see?
Like most business, it's time and money. And I would say that business owners, even if they come to me, so the two areas that we talk about from prospect engagement is revenue, cash flow, you know, things that all involve money, time allocation. I like to refer to it as priority management.
Yeah,
it's really what it is.
Yep.
It's not time management, it's priority management. And then the third element is relationships. It's internal and external. It's all the people that surround you in business. And if you think about it, that's business, time, money, people.
Yeah.
So, but one of the biggest struggles I find with most business owners is that they feel like they have to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think about business owners I work with, could be even an individual, you know, solopreneur.
Sure.
Right? They're in business for themselves. They start a business because they're good at doing something. And I think that they don't realize that there's resources out there that could actually take a lot of work off their plate that is not revenue-generating type of work or most meaningful work, right? Mm-hmm. So there's things that they could do. So I think when you have business owners that are running into that time ceiling of, man, I'm just out of debt, there's ways that we could look at it and say, okay, well, let's see, where are you spending your time?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we could free up an hour a day for what you find to be most important to you, whether it be seeing another client, whether it be going home to see your family, right? There's value there. So everybody is different, but I think it's really a matter of trying to figure out how to carve up that day so that they feel like they're not running 100 miles an hour all the time. Because as entrepreneurs, we believe that if we're not moving, we're not productive.
Sure.
And that's not necessarily the case all the time.
Right.
You have to slow it down sometimes and think a little bit.
Yeah. So it comes down, really what that is time. Time is money, right? We can calculate how much we're worth per hour.
What is your worth?
But how are these business owners, any business owner, myself included, you have to give up control. So you say a solopreneur or a business owner that's got, you know, 5 people or 10 people, we're talking about small businesses. Okay, that's great. I see it. I realize I need to give up this task and someone else has to do it. Like, for example, we record this podcast. There's so much that goes on with the recording of this podcast. Like, you and I talking is the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
It's the pregame to even before this podcast ever became a podcast. There was design that was involved. There was writing that was involved. There was technology that was involved. It took a team of people.
Right.
So John's in here. Scott, who's not in here right now, he's doing other things. Right. I could have probably done it all. But that's all I would have done for days.
Correct.
So you have to be saying, I'll pay someone else to do this or find an intern or find someone that can come in there to help me do it. It's not easy for business owners because, and John knows this, I like things done a certain way. You like things done. So how do they give up that control? Is it you have no other choice or you're going to be working late at night and you're not going to have a family life? Like,
It is about having, okay, so I'm there now, you hired me as your coach, and I'm that outside perspective that you value.
Yep.
I'm going to share with you what I see from my angle, right? Mm. And I'm going to be able to identify potential areas of improvement that maybe you haven't thought about. I'm going to ask you the questions that are going to reveal to me, but more importantly to you, what is the most important thing to you? I had a client that really wanted to get home at 4 o'clock to watch his kid play baseball.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to do that. So I'm like, okay, well, we're going to work on that.
Yeah.
Right? So everybody has their desire as to what is most important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And forget about what other people think about, right? It's got to be, you went into business for yourself because you wanted to be in business for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Which, guess what? That means you're in control of everything you're doing in your time. And so you have the playbook.
Yeah.
So let's change a couple plays if that playbook isn't getting you into the destination that you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So when small business owners start businesses, there's a couple of paths you could go down. You could go down the path of, I want to create revenue for myself and be able to earn a living, mm-hmm. and a good living, let's
yep.
say, right? Maybe that's your aspiration. I just want a revenue stream, and someday I'm going to shut the lights off and be out of business, but that's okay because that's what I wanted to do.
Yep.
That's a great path. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. The other path is, I want to create a business that is separate from me, an asset that has a value, that at the end of the day, I'm creating a scalable business here that can provide, on the back end of when I want to be done, value through a transaction, right?
Yeah.
The problem, and that's a great path too, the problem is, are you a business owner who's on the path of generating revenue and not building an asset, but you believe you are?
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. That's yeah. the disconnect.
Yeah.
So we have to first decide
which direction
road
we go
on.
Yep.
But what road do you really want to be on?
Right.
Because if you really want to be on the asset development and the transferable asset, I'll call mm-hmm. it, path, you can't possibly do it yourself.
Right.
And that's where you have to allow for other people to come into your
world. E-myth, right?
E-myth. That's it. I'm very E-myth-esque.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
No, Michael.
And you're taking them back to what we talked about before, why you're even in business. First
right.
of all, why do you do what you do?
Right.
And now, why are you in business? So it's going back to the first part of the conversation.
Right.
You have to constantly take them back, it's sounding like.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know what? What you start, you know, year one, year two in your business, you may have had a specific aspiration that is different in year three, year five.
Sure.
So things change.
Sure.
One thing that business owners know is that things change.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah. You hope
another,
so, right?
another reason why it's good to engage with a coach is
right.
because things change.
Right.
There's always something
constant. That's the thing you can,
constant.
Yeah. So, and that's disruption, and that's, we could continue on the disruption
yeah.
path, because what's going to happen with all these different industries down the line, right? So
correct. Correct. So, man, we can do a whole series.
We'll come back, James. He's good so far.
Know, right.
So far, you're going to make it to the next one. So.
All right.
So
Well, I should leave now. No,
that's right.
Quit
while you're ahead. I think I did that with breakfast this morning. So,
True.
So you're out there. Obviously, you have a great story to tell. You've seen a lot. How do you, and we know that you're meeting with people.
Yep.
How do you develop business? How do you, obviously, you're here on this podcast. I mean, it's a way to develop business. But
sure.
tell us, like, what has been your process, at least not the entire process, but just
right.
pieces of it. How do you develop business?
Core elements of my marketing at this point in my practice have truly been through current client and past client referrals.
Okay.
Number one driver for introductions to new opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
People who have actually worked with me, mm-hmm. and that's true with most businesses, if not all businesses, that your current client base is key.
Yeah.
It's often neglected. That's podcasts.
Three.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll get there.
But working with clients to a level of their satisfaction where they actually will refer you is tremendous. So
yeah.
that's my number one lead
yep.
driver.
Okay.
Number two for me is networking. And if you could tell, the theme so far is engagement with other people face to face.
Sure.
Really my most valuable approaches. So I network, but I network with select groups. I you know, when you first open your business,
yeah.
you're going everywhere because you don't know where the right ones are, but then
right.
you narrow it down. So you narrow it down, and then you're networking with the right people,
right.
referral partners that make sense,
mm-hmm.
right? Things like that. So that's number two. And number three is doing things like this
mm-hmm.
and speaking engagements.
Right.
Getting in front of an audience in some capacity through some medium is vital for
yeah.
me.
Yep.
You know, and it comes down to the fact that coaching is such an invisible deliverable,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense, that I think people need to see who I am, what I do, and hear from me to even know if they want to have a conversation.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Yep.
Right?
Do they even like you?
Yeah, that's it.
I don't like people from
that's
Jersey, right? Like, I'm not
going
to work
right.
with this guy.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
But that's okay.
But
then you can don't have to waste your time with that person if they don't like you.
And,
I don't know why they wouldn't, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
But here's the truth about coaching, and I think it applies. I could say it's the truth about coaching because I've seen some studies and research on this, but I'm sure it applies to many other businesses. The the success that comes out of an engagement with a coach, it's like 70 plus percent of that success rate comes down to the chemistry between the two people involved.
Yeah.
Every coach, we all have our own personalities, we all have our own way of individualizing what we do. Mm-hmm. We're following similar processes, which is fine, but it's really more about who you're working with.
Yeah.
Do I like this guy?
Yeah.
Can I work with him? Is he going to give me what I am looking for in this type of engagement?
That's right.
That's it.
That's great.
So those three are my, to answer your question, it's
perfect.
It's client referrals, networking with the right resources, and being out there through public type engagement, such as speaking or podcasts.
It makes sense. Yeah. And it's simple, and you can say it 1, 2, 3. I love to think about, where did I meet this person? How did we first start talking? So it was the Charlotte Business Owners Networking Group across the street from our office. They have it at Total Wine. I remember I started the business, and I'm like, I got to go meet some people and tell them that we exist. And I went to this event, and this is a few years ago now, or multiple years ago, and I realized that everyone's pitching. Like, what do I do? This is what I do. I'm like, is this what I do? Like, I don't want to do that, because that's not me. And then you meet a couple people and you just have a conversation with that person. So you go to a networking event. I don't pitch.
Nope.
I just talk. I just have a conversation. And if someone wants to know, because guess what? You can't work with everybody. What's your advice to someone when they go to a networking events are hard. John's here. He loves networking events. He loves talking to people, loves learning their story. We have other people in our office, same way. What's your advice to someone going to a networking event to make the most of that event?
Don't go in with the expectation to measure your success by how many cards you walk out with. And don't go into those engagements believing that you have to do all the talking. We'll go back to Dale Carnegie's book. Listening to people is an art of conversation. It sounds funny. It's like the less you talk, the better it is.
Yeah.
Go in with the anticipation that you're going to walk out learning something. If you go into a networking event with the anticipation that I'm going to walk out with some nugget of knowledge that I didn't know walking in here, I think it's a cool way to approach the crowd and a cool way to engage in conversation.
Yeah.
Because if I meet John at a networking event, I'm going to find out what he does for a living, but it's actually more interesting to me to find out that, he moved down here from Babylon, New York. And we could talk a little bit about how that overlaps with the fact that I'm from New Jersey and we maybe have, been to the same places in Manhattan or something, So how cool is that? That's a conversation.
Yeah.
And honestly, I will, but you got to go in with an authentic approach.
Yeah.
If you're faking it, people see it right
through. Yeah. Yeah.
People are sophisticated, and nobody wants to be on the receiving side of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So don't go in with that.
Right.
People see right through that. Go in with an authentic approach. But seriously, I think if you go in with the attitude of I just want to meet a couple cool people and learn something, I think you'll probably come out with a good experience from that networking event.
And then when you leave the networking event, because you might have done very well on the first go-round, now you immediately go and be like, I'm going to sell you something right now. I'm going to send you an email. I want to meet because I want to sell you my product. Hold on a second. We just started. We just met. I'm not.
We didn't even go out on a first date.
Right. You could have said, let's meet for coffee. That's right. We didn't go on a first date.
We didn't even have a first date.
That's it. Let's move on, right? We're getting married. Eventually, people, salespeople, business owners need to ask for business.
Sure.
It has to make sense. And like you said, it has to be genuine.
That's right.
And you have to both want that.
That's right.
And you have to know the right time for it. But along the way, we can just meet for coffee and carry on our conversation. But you don't want to just dance all, forever.
It's an area of my sales coaching that I talk to a lot about.
That's what I want to get to. Yeah.
Right? It's the art of it. But again, coming from a position of authenticity and that genuine position, it's hard for a lot of people to get out and do that. It is. I understand that.
Sure.
But it's imperative to you in business. And you can't say, John, had a great conversation with you at the networking event Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. Hey, I sell this.
Right.
Let's get together.
Right.
Are you interested? That won't work.
Right.
That won't work.
Yeah.
Because turn it around. I wouldn't want to be on the receiving side.
Right.
And at all.
It's so hard because a lot of people are doing it. So if you meet 20 people on LinkedIn in a networking event, wherever it might be, 19 of them might do what we're telling them not to do. And then you might come in and do it the right way. But because the other 19 have kind of screwed it up for you, no offense.
Yeah.
I'm never going to see your message now.
Right.
That's frustrating for anybody. Because yeah. you are genuinely just trying to learn something, give away some knowledge,
yeah.
advice, whatever it is, meet for a cup of coffee.
Right.
And but it gets lost in the noise.
Right.
So you have to cut through that noise.
So
you
you're
have
referring to like the my competitors or anybody's competition.
I think competition isn't just other business coaches. I think your competition is anybody that's out there
yeah.
trying to market themselves.
Oh,
I don't
I
care
what
they
saying.
Say.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
just there's yeah. 20 people that have messaged me today.
Right.
You come in as a 14th one. And your message is great, but I was so turned off because the first 13
yeah.
and the next whatever number 5 or 6 or whatever it would be, I don't know my math right now, but right? They just turned
yeah.
me off. I'm just no, delete, spam.
Yep.
That's frustrating.
Totally.
But you have to keep going.
You do.
Okay.
Perseverance.
I mean, you're the coach. I'm asking. Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm agreeing.
It's pretty
you.
Obvious.
You gotta persevere.
Sometimes it's that
some
simple.
Of the, some
yeah.
of the pain. You can't take rejection from one and associate that with every experience you're going to have going forward.
Right.
You can't.
Right.
That's in the past.
Yeah.
And the past does not equate to the future.
Right.
If you make the right changes.
Right.
In the right places.
Right. Good shooters keep shooting, right?
That's
Kevin Durant. I mean, he doesn't miss, I don't think. I don't know if you watched the game the other night. He didn't miss. He's 6'11". He's shooting it just like impossible.
There you
but
go.
If he misses his first 9 shots, you think he's not going to shoot the 10th shot? You're like, I'm done. I'm out. I'm going to sit on the bench.
Practices free throws every day.
Right.
Why not?
Yeah.
Scale what works.
Yeah.
Right? Go after what's working and be better at what's working. Just keep going back. You said
yeah.
refine.
Yeah.
Keep refining it.
Yeah.
Right? It's a tough practice to adhere to.
Yeah.
And the other thing, here's the other challenge. We're adults, and adults are the worst learners, man. We
yeah.
take so long to change habit behavior
mm-hmm.
because we're just been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
So that we have to embrace the foundation of refining.
Yeah.
We really do.
Yeah. And we're in a good place.
If you believe you can
yeah.
be better than if you believe you could be better today than you were yesterday, then that's
kind of all it is, right? Just
it.
Get a little bit better.
Just
keep you can't, yeah. I tell my
that
kids that
cool.
all. My parents, my kids think I'm crazy because I'm
right.
the one telling them like, just get a little bit better today. Just do this. Don't worry about that stuff. This kid's
and
gonna say this.
There you
don't
go.
Be surprised that someone's gonna say something.
And
just focus on being better.
And you know what really we talked. I don't even remember if it was earlier this morning you and I talking before we were on air or beforehand, but. Or during, but you know, there's so many like cliches and jargon and stuff. It's like I'm even mindful of the fact that I'm saying a lot of things that are like, you know, oh, be better, do this, right? But really, it comes down to that.
Yeah,
it comes down to that. So
yeah.
you know, it, just a point I wanted to make.
Yeah, it's important, obviously.
Better
I can see it in your eyes. You're
I like
man,
better.
It's, yeah,
yeah.
just be better. Just be better.
That's it.
Be better.
We'll leave it there.
So we're in a good place to be better. We're in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Charlotte, North Carolina is crazy.
Yeah.
Charlotte's not the only city. There's Tampa, Nashville.
Yep.
You know, there's cities all over the place. I mean, even the northeastern cities are doing great.
Yeah.
So, but we want to talk about Charlotte. I look outside the window. It's pouring rain right now. It's been gorgeous and hot, but now it's pouring. But anyway, there's cars everywhere. So
yeah.
we've been in this office for 5+ years. We've seen it's been growing for many years, Charlotte.
That's right.
There's cars driving everywhere. I look around. There's businesses starting up. There's new people moving from Buffalo and New York and California. Like, they're everywhere. Charlotte business opportunities are everywhere. We even wrote an article about it.
Because mm-hmm.
sometimes we can say, I can bitch about the traffic. I can be annoyed by it. But then I was like, well, hold on a second. That just means there's more opportunities to talk to new people with new stories.
That's right.
We got to take advantage of it.
That's right.
What are you seeing in the city of Charlotte with business owners? Are you meeting new people that have just moved here? Like, what's going on as you see it, because you're out networking more than most?
I am meeting people that have just moved here. I'm also meeting people that have lived here and maybe have been in a different position and now they're venturing out on their own. I'm also meeting business owners that have been in business for multiple years and now they're coming out of the, you know, coming
yeah.
out from behind their desk to get out and network because the economy is good. And
yeah.
there are more
yeah.
opportunities here. So those are the folks that are great to talk to because for X amount of years, maybe they've been doing it one way, but they're realizing, you know what, growth is good in this city.
Yeah.
So let's embrace that. Let's get out there.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been living in Charlotte for a little over 8 years now, and I've seen growth.
Yeah.
I mean, to meet people here who are natives and hear their story about growth,
oh, yeah.
it's amazing to me.
Yeah.
People who have been here for 20 years have seen tremendous growth. This,
right.
this market is an awesome market
yeah.
to live and to work and to be an entrepreneur. It
yeah.
really is. It's
yeah.
a good growth market.
Yeah. There's opportunity. There's barriers because you can say, well, there's who am I going to talk to? Who am I going to – there's so many people, and it's open. So you can talk to people not only, like you said before, natives to the city
yeah.
or people who have been here, families that have been here for 50 years.
Yeah.
You can talk to them. Some might be harder than others, right? But you can
yeah.
still talk. And then you have people who just moved here that are from your area, that are fans of the same team that and you meet them at the bar. you
right.
see them wherever, right? You
That's
go to a
right.
Panther game and all the Pittsburgh Steelers fans show up and they're all from Charlotte. Same with Buffalo, right?
A lot of
you
Pittsburgh
meet,
fans
yeah.
here.
Yeah, there is. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. That's good.
But that's the thing. I think Charlotte has an incredible opportunity no matter what business you're doing. Obviously, for what you're doing with new businesses starting up, businesses that have been around, and people that are coming out of the woodwork saying, I need to get back
that's
out
what
there.
I was mentioning earlier. You know, I meet John.
Mm-hmm.
You're pointing to John here.
Yeah.
You know,
he's behind the
camera.
As we're live, he's
and
behind the camera.
And
yeah.
you're going to ask people, you know, where are you from? It's not a dangerous question to ask in this
that's
town
right.
because most likely they're not natives.
Right.
And they have a story about how they got here and where they're from.
Well, yeah.
Which is a cool conversation.
That's right. And most people
I'm
who are
generally interested in that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's a really cool
And how did you get here?
Exactly.
Yeah. And a lot of people who are from it's funny, if they're from Charlotte or they're from Mint Hill or wherever they might be from, and
yeah.
oh, I'm one of the few natives.
One of the few natives.
Yes.
That's
like,
your unique.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
You're like, great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, tell me
yeah.
about that.
That's right.
And are you glad I'm here or not?
It's you know, it's funny. So when I moved here, I had friends there from like Shelby, North Carolina, and they're like, we got Yankees and damn Yankees. Yankees are the ones that come and they leave. Damn Yankees are the ones that come and stay. And I'm like, so you don't want me here? He's like, no, you got to go back to Buffalo. Go back.
Yeah,
but anyway, now I've been here all these years. I look around. I'd get mad. I was like, why am I sitting in traffic on this secondary road? This is ridiculous.
Right.
Who are all these damn Yankees? They're like, no, I'm one of them, right? So that's why I was like, I had to find the positive in that to say, there's the reason, because there's so many opportunities going.
You're starting to get mad when you see the out-of-state tags on cars, right?
Oh,
like,
you take a left out of our office, like right over there, and no one can see it. That's not live or whatever, but it's you can't go left there at 5 o'clock or 6
oh,
o'clock.
No,
it's crazy. But you know what? It's because there's a lot of good
it's
opportunity
okay.
here.
That's right.
See the
like
find the positive. So
have that.
That's it. Well, James, I appreciate you sharing, you know, you're coaching us, you're coaching the people
yeah.
that are listening, talking about different obstacles that exist, talking about Dale Carnegie. I mean, I think it's awesome that you're able to come in here, spend some time with us to do that.
It's fun.
So what I want to do now, though, is go to more of a rapid-fire approach.
Yeah.
So you've given us some good long answers. Now we want to keep them short, but
okay.
if you gotta venture out a little bit, that's okay. We won't
All
take
right.
points away. All right. Simplest advice you would give a business owner.
I got two. I want you to keep the passion, but more importantly, I want to say surround yourself. Surround yourself with good people, whether it be business advisors, whether it be colleagues, whether it be other people in your company. Surround yourself with really good people, you know, because that's going to help boost you up. Just going back to what I said about have an expectation to learn something, surround yourself with people that and expect to learn something from those people, I think is a cool thing. Surround yourself with really good talent. Is an important thing in business.
Love it. Your favorite city to travel to?
It's funny because my wife and I are talking about planning another trip to Italy. So I have two. I'll give you an international city. My favorite is Florence, Italy. Just love it.
Yep.
Domestically, my favorite city now that I live in Charlotte to travel to is New York. And John could appreciate this because he's from New York. Not living there anymore. So I grew up in New Jersey, so New York was always my city. That was my city. But I'm not living there now. When we travel there, it's a different perspective.
Perspective, yeah.
You know, stay in overpriced hotels in Manhattan and enjoy.
Yeah.
Rather than getting on a train to go home, it's a different experience, and I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm comfortable there, and we're exploring. When we go there, we enjoy it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So New York and Florence.
New York and Florence. All right, so when you go to Florence or even New York or anywhere you go, you have to kill some time. What's your favorite thing to do to kill time?
Well, I'm Italian, so I like to have good food and wine with friends. That's how I like to kill time.
Yeah.
Social small, you know, group.
Yeah. Food's important, isn't it? I think the last time we saw each other, we were at Yama, which is the Asian restaurant that just opened up in Waverly, which is madness.
Right.
We picked up dinner there from the other night. I couldn't park. There's somebody going back to Charlotte, right?
You can't park in there.
But food is important, so.
I'd like to meet the architect of that area. But anyway, that's podcast number four.
That's good. All right, so if I were to, that's right, we're gonna sign the long-term agreement. If I were to take you out of being a business coach, you could not be a business coach anymore.
Yeah.
What career would you be in?
The simple answer is, you know, something else related to sales or sales management, but that's not fun. So here's the thing. I'm going to go back to food. I think I would have pursued, like, credentialing around wine, something to do with, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know if I would achieve sommelier, but something to do with wine. I think, and pursuing credentialing and certifications within that,
mm-hmm.
I think would be fun. And then I could sell that, right?
Right.
In wine sales, right? So that would be fun.
Yeah.
Something along that line.
You have a passion for that, obviously.
Yeah,
food, wine, matching it up. Yep.
It's not a bad mix.
Not a bad mix at all. So we already know you read a lot. What's your favorite publication or website? Like, what do you go to a lot?
So for me, I'm old school. So I like to look at the Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, there's a small business and entrepreneur section that I love that I think has some really, really good articles. So Wall Street Journal and honestly another old school Forbes I think is still it's great.
Yeah.
Entrepreneur magazine and mm-hmm. entrepreneur.com and another thing that I look at as well. But if you were to ask me go to, I think those tried and true.
Now are you reading it print or digital?
Those type of format I read digitally.
Okay.
But as far as I still like to read a magazine.
Sure.
And books I read hardcover. I read books.
That's a question I was getting to next. Let's bring it to that. So
okay, bring it.
Book or Kindle? Are you so
book
when you
or Kindle?
So what?
I'm
app
a book.
A book.
Okay. I like to hold a book.
Okay.
My wife reads Kindle.
Yeah.
I like to have an actual book.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, if I had to give you 30 minutes, you were either going to read 30 minutes worth of blogs or listen to a 30-minute podcast, what would you choose?
Podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Yes.
That's my mix of
I love
reading.
It. Yeah. I love it. Social media, we talked a little bit. I mentioned LinkedIn before. You talked about how you get business. What is your favorite social media app today? It changed yet? It could have been something different yesterday and tomorrow?
You know, and again, I'm... LinkedIn is my social platform.
Yeah.
I'm B2B. I enjoy reading posts and I enjoy sharing on LinkedIn. I'd like to make connections on LinkedIn.
Yep.
By the way, a pet peeve of mine is if you send an invitation without personalizing it, as to how I even know you.
Yeah.
You know, unless I obviously know you.
Right.
You know, so take 17 seconds and just say, Eric, it was great to meet you at this event. Would love to connect on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference than just hitting the
connect. Context. Context is big.
That's it.
Yeah.
Remind me why I want to connect with you.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Listen, I accept the invitation.
Right.
I recognize,
well, we
but,
all do
but
it.
Go through that little personal touch.
I will say this. So on a phone, and we can look into this, John, I want to talk about it. So if I'm on my phone and I see a list of connections, it doesn't let you every time to customize it.
Yeah.
So it's tough to know, like, was this guy just, like, didn't want to spend the time with me? Or was
I get
in
it. No, I do.
But I agree.
You could be mobile and want to.
And it just sends it.
As opposed to at your desk.
Correct, which a lot of people are going to be mobile. So I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know.
We're going to research that to see. I've been wondering it for a long time. But these things change.
Yeah, I'd be curious if there was if I'm just taking it personally.
Yeah.
A personal note.
That's right.
John already sent
that's
me
right.
Like,
it's like, I'm done. I'm going to give up for the day,
he's
right?
Like, damn, man. Yes. He's going to be pissed.
He's going to delete
John,
it and resend it.
Take it back.
I'll accept your invite.
I love it.
Look, I'm flattering myself that John actually wants to connect.
That's right. You're like, how does he even know he wants to connect with you? Don't connect with him, John. So you meet with clients, as we know.
Yeah.
We've met before at the Starbucks across the street. We've met at the office. We met at different places.
Yeah.
You seem to, when we go, first of all, to Starbucks, I think there's like one time we were there and like six different people you knew there. Like, oh, James, how you doing?
Yeah,
then you
introduce
everybody.
Yeah.
What is your favorite place? What's the best place to meet a client at?
specific.
For you.
I can't give away my secrets.
Okay. You don't have to.
No, no, no.
You can be general.
No, I like formats like you just described where we're out in coffee shops.
Yeah.
Typically, my meetings with clients are either at their location, mm-hmm. but I actually prefer to pull them out of their offices
yep.
and meet at neutral sites that yep. work for both of us from where we're going to be that day. You know,
right.
a lot of my clients are mobile just like me. So coffee shops and restaurants, sometimes comfortable hotel lobbies, depending on where we are in town, are a great place to meet as well.
Yeah.
So I like that neutral ground. And like with coffee shops and restaurants, I like to support more of the local
mm-hmm.
places. Nothing against where we met.
No, I get it.
You know, if there is a local
yep.
shop, that's a cool place to meet too.
Yeah.
But you're right. You run into people too.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
So yeah.
That's, I do.
You're out
I
there. It's
like
part of your networking. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Now we're going to take it to something that's really important here, which is sports. We all love sports. We love
yeah.
talking about sports
yeah.
with sports teams. You might not have favorite sports teams.
Yeah.
You can answer this however you want. But if you were only allowed to root for one sports team for the rest
dude.
Of your life,
no,
what team would that be? One team.
No,
that's it.
Man.
Yeah.
So I'm from Jersey, so my roots are there. So, yeah, but...
You can identify the different teams that you root for right now.
I like different sports. Like, you know, so I'm a Giants fan.
Yep.
Well, John didn't like that.
John didn't like that.
He's from Babylon.
That's right.
He's
the Jets.
Fan
that's right.
All the way.
Yeah.
But we could get along. We could
that's
have
it.
Coffee. We could have a good conversation.
That's right. Unless they're playing somehow, right? Yeah.
Hey, John,
you share the same
worse.
Home.
It could have been worse. I could have said Philly.
Or New England.
Right?
Or New
England.
There you go.
Yeah.
So when we're from New Jersey, we don't have, you know, although they play in New Jersey, they're still New York teams.
Right.
So anyway, so Giants, but it's hockey season, man.
Yeah.
It's playoffs.
Yeah.
And so I'm a Devils fan.
Okay.
I'm a Devils fan. He's cringing again, I'm sure. He's,
yeah, yeah.
I won't
tell anyway. That's right.
But so it's hard for me to say.
Yep.
I guess if I could only root for one, I think I'd go Devils.
Yeah.
I think I'd go hockey. It's
yeah.
just this is a tough town, by the way, to be a hockey fan.
It is.
This is not an easy.
We love it. Well, we're
yeah.
the I'm a Sabres fan, and
yeah.
we've been last like 5 years in a row.
But how cool are the playoffs this year, man?
You
got a brand new franchise.
It's unbelievable.
That
yeah.
are playing. How
yeah.
cool! I think it's going to be.
I mean,
Capitals, Vegas, I think is my
right prediction, now,
but
right? But then it changed, right? So Tampa
does.
Bay wins, and they win one more, and
exactly.
it changes it.
Exactly.
So,
but
no,
how cool
I,
would it be to have like a staple,
man.
Like
yep.
either one of these?
I like Winnipeg because I think, like,
go.
Look at these fans out there. I mean, have you seen them? And they're freezing.
it's
still like winter there, and they're so passionate about the sport. It's awesome.
Canadian hockey fans.
And they got their one team left. And these other three teams, Washington's a southern team in a way. You know, not southern,
yeah.
but
yeah.
mid-Atlantic, I guess. And then you got Vegas out west.
Go
but
Vegas.
Warm weather cities and Tampa.
Exactly.
It's just interesting. It is a tough town to be a hockey fan in. But I get it. And you talked a lot about
yeah.
niche before. So it's somewhat of a niche sport because you come down here and it's like, I don't care about the hockey playoffs.
No.
But no, I think that's cool. You've had success. So the Giants have won. The Devils have, it's been a little
oh, yeah.
bit.
It's
90s,
been a long time.
90s,
yeah.
but they had Marty Brodeur, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I get it. I get it. Well, that's awesome. Well, James, I appreciate you being on the podcast, taking the time to be here. I know you have a lot of meetings to get to. I guess we've signed up for episodes 2, 3, and 4, so we'll
Sounds
get it on the
us.
Calendar. That's right. We're
going
to create our own show.
I love it.
James's show. The James Process, we'll call it. Like, I think you mentioned that before.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to change the branding. I love
yeah.
it.
So
but
how would people... Yeah, so you're
it's
on
good.
LinkedIn. Obviously, go to James Pagano
yep.
and find you on LinkedIn.
Yep.
That's probably the best way that people
that's
can connect
way.
With you.
And my website, jamespagano.com. Which
Easy
will
enough.
Take you to my Growth Coach platform
yeah.
If you want to look at that. But really, LinkedIn is a great way to connect with me and also to learn a little bit about me as well.
That's
and
awesome.
From there, we'll, you know.
Talk hockey, you know.
Talk
yeah. whatever you want. Yeah. Well, we appreciate it, James. Thanks
Thank
again
you.
For spending the time.
Appreciate your time.
All right.
Thanks.
James, it was absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From his strategies on being a better business person to his story about becoming an entrepreneur, James is a proven coach that can help other business owners on their journey. The perspectives from James on taking on and applying advice to focusing on what matters most in your business are now perspectives you as a business owner and entrepreneur can use for yourself. And for that, James, thank you. And for anyone looking to learn more about having a business coach, I would encourage you to reach out to James. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can contact me on Twitter at Eric_Kaz or with the same name on Instagram, or you can find us at KazSource.com with links to us on the different social networks. Thank you for listening to our KazSource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here.
This podcast exists in large part because of CASCM, the content marketing business inside CASSource, Inc. CASCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at CASSource to you. Learn more by visiting CASCM.com.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's a big deal to us. We hope you found value in it. And if you did, we would be incredibly grateful if you gave us a review on iTunes. Remember to subscribe to this podcast and feel free to share it with anyone you know. More than anything, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it.